Blog Talk Radio.
On voyage.
Hello, and welcome back to True Crimes Podcast. Today is day 5 of V-Week 2018. It's Friday, August 24th, 2018, and I'm back to talk more about NXIVM with Roberta Glass. Hey, Roberta, how are you doing?
Very well, thanks. Happy Vanguard Week, everybody.
Yes, happy V-Week. Yay. So can you guess where the intro music came from?
Didn't that come from the Vanguard Week video clip on YouTube? Or am I
close?
Or did it come
close.
From
get them warm. You're warm.
No?
Warm. Close.
Where did
give
it come
me one
from?
More try. From the Vanguard arcade machine that Keith Raniere got his name from. That was the actual video game.
That is genius.
That is on
very
YouTube.
Nice.
You can look it up.
Very nice. I would have never thought of that. That's brilliant. Way to go.
And, I think I actually remember playing that game when I was a kid. I was like, oh, this looks familiar. Because you can see the whole – this guy plays it on YouTube and he shows the whole thing and – yeah, it looks familiar. Yeah, so and it's actually, and when you compare it to today's video games, like I think young people today would look at it and be like, "What is this crap?" You know, at that time it was like kids were obsessed with those games. It was, you know, state of the art. You know.
Yeah.
But now it's just ridiculous looking when you see it. Yeah, so if you want a little blast from the past there, and you can see what games he played when he was a kid.
I mean, you would think with a 220 or 230 IQ. What is it? Is it 230 or 220?
It changes.
230, right?
Well, first of all, Gina's IQ, not his. But sometimes they say 230, sometimes they say 240. He lies. This or that. Yeah, it changes every now and then. Yeah.
So in the 200th IQ, in the almost mid 200th IQ, you would think that he would have like he'd take his name from something more intellectual, but apparently not. Apparently, it's a video game.
Yeah, really, somebody who's supposedly so intelligent. But apparently, according to him, he doesn't read so much. He thinks a lot. So it's not. So that's why he doesn't know so much about history or anything else.
But he does know a lot about conspiracy culture. And they did, when they raided Nancy Salzman's house, they took out the book, The History of Torture. So that's what he likes to peruse, I guess. Yeah, really scary.
Wow. Not surprising, though. Speaking of torture, his torture buddy there, Claire Bronfman, has new news about her this week, or just today, actually, on Frank Report. About how she's now free to leave her house. She's free to leave now every day of the week to go to church or her fitness club or shop. So now
Allison Mack was a trendsetter there. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead. She asked for church, and then Claire Bronfman not to be. She's like, yes, I want church. Church, that's a good idea. I want time to go to church. Church, definitely.
And how much you want to make a bet to go to the same church?
Yeah, I'm sure their church time will have the flavor a lot of, the Sopranos meat store time, you know, butcher time. Talking shop in the back.
Yeah, yeah. You know they're going to go to the same church. That's without question. Coincidentally.
Look,
yeah, so.
We just have the same interests. That's ridiculous. I mean, they're getting ready to put on a defense, and they got to line up the people who are willing to commit perjury.
Yeah.
Get their story straight and put pressure on
Allison
to take the fall for everything.
Mm-hmm. So she's permitted
to leave
her residence.
I wonder what their attitude is towards Claire Bronfman in the Allison's towards her and the other people. They really resent that she has so much power because of her money. You know, relative power.
Well, now she's claiming to the judge that the judge is being so harsh on her because of her wealth, she's claiming. She's like, oh, you're being hard on me because I'm wealthy. That's her lawyer's argument now. Poor her.
Susan Knuckles is shameless. Totally shameless. She will play every side for an advantage that she can. I mean, totally shameless. She will be interesting to watch. She's the one who made the claim that if they were communicating via third parties, if the prosecution heard that was going on, to just pick up the phone and talk to her. That was
right,
her solution.
Right.
Yeah.
And I love how, well, there is still hope that she can go to prison or jail, I should say, because remember how when they were trying to come up with her bail money or bail fee.
Mm.
They neglected to mention the islands because it was under construction.
She forgot to mention that island that she owned because the house was under construction. So I didn't know that negated you owning it when it's under construction. And if that were true, rich people would own nothing because all they do is put their house under construction, redecorate it, remodel it, and then they get it perfect, and then they move out. So if that were the, the case, no rich person would own anything if under construction negated you owning it.
Mm-hmm. Right. So they're still continuing looking into her finances, and if they find that she has withheld more, there's a chance that the prosecution could ask for her bail to be rescinded, and she could go to jail.
Yeah, and I heard that she was threatened with jail. Do you remember what the issue was that the judge threatened to put her in Metropolitan Correctional Center, the women's section, the same prison, same jail that Keith Raniere's in? But do you remember what that was over? He said, if I hear of blah, 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 she's going to have to go to jail.
I don't remember specifically what. I just read that the finances were an issue that could cause her to go to jail.
Yeah,
I don't
remember who threatened it. But I'm sure it was over something like, going out, not following her bail things. So.
Oh, yeah, she has to contact pretrial services or something. Every time she goes out, it has to be organized. Like, she can't just walk out. She has to tell them ahead of time, I'm leaving at this time and coming back at that time. And, yeah, there's a real – she has to stick to that schedule, I guess.
Yeah, and she has to do drug testing. I was really surprised about the drug testing, but that's just standard bail stuff in New York. Everybody has to – it just seems sort of pointless that – my tax dollars are going to paying for, drug testing for all these people out on bail. But all right,
Well, usually
anyway,
drugs are what get you in this position. Except they don't. In this case, it's unusual being a cult. Yeah.
I can see if it's a drug case that being a provision of your bail, but not if it, not if it's a cult case like this is or whatever. There's
I don't
so
think they're even allowed to drink alcohol either. I don't think they're allowed to drink. Yeah.
That's right, yeah. No excessive use of alcohol, yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah.
So what was the other? Oh, you had some really interesting clip to play with Keith Raniere.
Oh, yes. Well, I have two. Well, let me start with the one with Parlato, Frank Parlato. He has a video on YouTube that he was interviewed by HBO, and it sort of ties into what we were talking about last time about that Times Albany, New York reporter who lost his job because he was litigated by Claire Bronfman, and her lawyers went after him and tried to destroy his career. Go ahead.
Yeah. I have some information on that.
Okay.
Too. So, but let's listen to the clip first.
Well, this clip is about Parlato was interviewed, and when Parlato was hired by NXIVM initially, worked for them, they gave him a smash list of people and the prices of what they'd pay to destroy these people. So here we go. I'll play it right now.
Parlato is a real estate developer on paper, but had built a reputation for relentlessness in local political fights. He believed the Raniere-run NXIVM was a legit company under attack from bad people. And it sent him a list of those people to seek and destroy.
Here was what they wanted me to do.
What does this mean, smash mouth $225,000?
That was what they were willing to pay me for, smashing various people.
Why do they call it smash mouth?
Because they wanted these people destroyed.
And it says here, disbarment $25,000. Does that mean they'd pay you $25,000?
If I did that.
If you got them disbarred?
Correct.
Whoa. Just the hearing will get you $15,000.
So this is what they were up to.
Discredit, indict, $50,000.
Right.
Wow, this is quite a list. But taking out enemies wasn't the only thing NXIVM wanted Parlato to do.
So that was what NXIVM did in their heyday. They took out anyone who opposed them, and using Claire Bronfman's money and her expensive lawyers, they would just make trump up charges and lie, perjure themselves to destroy people's reputations and cause them. And they caused a journalist who broke the story about NXIVM in 2012, Odato, caused him to sue him to death and caused him to lose his job with Reuters.
Wow. I mean, I wonder how many people listening to this are thinking what I'm thinking, which is that's just like Scientology. When they went after suppressive persons, they have that piece of paper that L. Ron Hubbard wrote. I'm forgetting what it's called now, but you can lie, suppressive persons, you can lie, cheat, and destroy them utterly. And also Hubbard talks about suing people just as a punitive measure, not to win, but just to keep them, to either keep them in the court system till they go broke or go crazy. You know.
Yeah, it seemed like they did that.
He really modeled this on Scientology.
Right, and with Claire Bronfman's money, they were able to do this because Keith Raniere didn't have any money.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see Frank Parlato use probably the same techniques he would have used in like a campaign when he writes about Raniere, you know. He uses, like, ridiculous cartoons. He mocks him. He makes fun. You know what I mean? He uses humor. He uses, just really gives you the flavor of just how much distaste he has for him in his writing. It's not like a kind of neutral journalistic writing.
No, but it is funny, though. It is very fact-based.
Oh, it's great fun to read, the Frank Report. If you're not reading the Frank Report, start now. I never miss it.
Because there's so much information, and if he didn't put some humor in it, it could be overwhelming. I mean, it is overwhelming how much there is, how many crimes they've committed in this group, which leads me to another crime that they committed a lot of, which I don't think is being reported so much, which is, I don't know, marriage fraud. Is that what you call it? They would bring in Mexican members of NXIVM and match them up with an American citizen to marry into a fraudulent, to give them citizenship in the U.S. And they did this a lot. They had it all organized. It was like an everyday thing for them, it seems.
Wow.
And there was,
it was just a financial means to get money, or What was the end purpose of all the marriage fraud?
That is that's a good question, and one that would have to be researched. I don't know what the motivation was to give all these people. Maybe they were. It was a way of paying back. Maybe if the drug cartels or whoever they dealt with in Mexico gave them money, and they would do this for them.
Okay,
maybe they got
so
paid
it's
off
like
for
a
this.
Money making. Yeah,
that's what I assume. You know. Yeah.
Allison Mack is married to a woman. She's married to Nikki Klein. And because Nikki Klein is also a Ranieri devotee, and it was a way for her to get a green card for Allison Mack to marry her. There, she's still married to her.
Is she
so,
Canadian? Who is Nikki Klein? Is she Canadian? Or what is she?
Yeah, Nikki Klein is an actress, and she's also a devotee, and she's Canadian. So, yeah.
Ah, okay. Yeah, so that she's married. I forgot about that.
Married.
Yeah. You never see them together either.
No, not at all. And it's very seldom mentioned, but I think it's an important part of the whole taking over totally of a woman. You know, to make a straight woman marry a woman is really. It's just really rapey. That's all I can say. It's absolutely whatever the woman's boundaries are. He's into violating them.
And isn't he responsible for trying to convert a gay woman to being straight?
Yes. Right.
Okay.
And she went, that's Kristen, forgetting her
Snyder?
Last name right now.
Snyder?
I'm sorry?
Kristen Snyder?
Yes.
Is that her last name? Okay.
Yes, Kristen Snyder, thank you. Kristen Snyder, and she was a gay woman, very happy with her partner, and he was convinced that if she had enough horrible sex with him, I'm just saying it would be horrible because she's gay, not because I'm sure it would be horrible for, you know, he's a sociopath. But anyway, having enough sex with him, he could turn her straight. I mean, that's not the biggest cliche in the world. I don't know what is, but... Keith Ranieri didn't shy away from cliches. And she
I would
ended
think
up,
having sex with him would make you gay.
Yeah,
but
you would think.
Not coming out
you
lesbian.
Would think.
Well,
yes.
Another. So one particular matter. Now, there's also we're talking about the men of NXIVM and how few men there were, but there was one that is written about on Frank Report, a guy named Farouk Rajos, R-A-J-O-S. I don't know how you pronounce that. But he was from Mexico, and he came up, and they arranged a marriage for him, but the girl smartened up and skipped out on it. But I thought his story is interesting because it points out there's another facet of NXIVM, which isn't reported, is that they are prejudiced against overweight people. This guy was in NXIVM for a long time, and he was qualified for the next sash. I guess you go from white to orange or something. They wouldn't give him the next sash because he was too overweight, and they told Keith Ranieri and Nancy Salzman told him to lose weight. So he couldn't go up the ranks because of his weight issue. And he wasn't even that big. They have pictures of him. I mean, he's overweight, but he's not, like, obese or anything. He's not, like... I mean, he rode his bike around, so he's fit enough to ride a bike around. So, but yeah.
Right. And may I note that Keith Ranieri has some pudge on him. And
uh-huh,
he's not,
uh-huh.
You know, he's hardly a fit, you know, judo, you know, expert type of physique. That's what's so interesting, you know, that he thinks he's in any position to make that kind of judgment. And Nancy Salzman, too, is not, she's not fat, but she's not stick thin like the others. She has a body on her. So
mm-hmm.
It's very
but
interesting
apparently
that
the
they...
But apparently the rules don't apply.
No,
the
rules
upper,
don't apply to
yeah.
them. And I think that the weight thing is really put in there because no woman ever feels like she's skinny enough, you know? And,
exactly.
And even
yeah.
every woman wants to lose. I mean, find me a woman who doesn't want to lose 5 or 10 pounds. And so to
uh-huh.
put that on, it just to make a woman feel insecure. You know, if you've ever seen like professional pickup artists, like they're teaching men how to pick up women, the first thing they do is tell men to, like, insult women a little bit, tease them a little bit, just to, like, get them off their guard, make them feel insecure. And they'll end up doing things to please you. So it's a very good way to start getting under in women's heads, is to start commenting on their weight. So, he's not even just commenting. He's enforcing a whole system of calories and weight and running, and in a whole world where you get punished if you're not, you know, thin enough. And it does not look good in person. When you see these women in person, it does not look good. They look ill, very ill.
Well, they were saying,
Nancy,
like, Sullivan, India Oxenberg
is ill. You know that, right?
Who?
She
has
breast cancer.
I heard that.
Yeah.
No, I just want to mention real quick is that Allison Mack and India Oxenberg, both of them from this low-cal diet, they've stopped getting periods. They're losing their hair, and they're going into early menopause. And this, in fact, causes the cancer that may cause the cancers that they're getting. So he's actually killing them with this.
Yeah, I mean, those are the kind of signs that anorexics get. You know, they stop getting their periods, the hair loss. You know, they look very, you know, Allison Mack looks extremely gray. Very gray.
Yeah.
And you know, when your face is all and drawn and when your face is that bony, it just doesn't look good. She looks ill, and she looks mentally ill, too. That was my first impression. I was like, she looks like she is much more a mental patient than movie star or TV star.
Yeah. Yeah, her TV star days are gone now.
She looks nothing like those. Even the interview that she did with Ranieri, she doesn't look anything like that in person.
That's like the lights and the makeup and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, the camera may have always just loved her, but she really looks sick now. But
yeah,
I was going to say the writer John Tigg, I'm not sure if that's how, Tighe, was the writer who got caught with child porn, and he had his own blog. He didn't write for the Albany. He had his own blog, and he was mowed down by a limousine that he believed, Nexium. He was an outspoken critic, and he describes being, like, run off the road by a limousine.
Really? What happened? Is he in the hospital? Was he put in the hospital, what happened?
I don't know. I don't know any more than that. They just mentioned it. Claimed he was followed and run off for a black limousine after body dance with Nexium.
Wow. Okay. So Odato, O-D-A-T-O, is the one that worked for the Times Union that was fired from the Times Union and Reuters for this. So it's multiple journalists who have been attacked by Nexium. Wow. Okay. Okay.
And do you remember when Frank Parlato wrote that he, like, got some strange correspondence or something from someone saying that he was under, like, in danger? Do you remember that? He posted it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it looks like it was.
You wonder
like
how much more stuff, dirty tricks have been done on him, because he has to be the number one enemy of Nexium besides Catherine Oxenberg.
Doing
the most damage.
Yeah. Since he's in jail now, hopefully that's and they're both, they end up going to prison, that's not going to be an issue anymore for anyone. I have one more clip though, if you want to hear from the Vanguard himself. I thought this was interesting. This is from the YouTube channel that Keith Raniere has. I think it's called Keith Raniere Discussions or something like that, where he pontificates on various things. I thought you might get a kick out of this one. I thought maybe you can go through a few or three of them. This one is where he's talking to a guy. He's talking to a young man who's with him who acts like he's in love with him the way Allison acts on YouTube videos. But this young man claims that his Tourette's was cured by Nexium. And he asks Keith Raniere how he experienced how he dealt. Let's listen to the clip.
Okay.
I've met you with Tourette, so to speak, to some degree.
What was that like?
It was interesting. I look at it. At times, it was disarming because I wasn't sure how you were experiencing it, and I wasn't sure if, because there's so many communications that are done that are nonverbal, and in interacting with you with the Tourette's, I was wondering how I was coming across, and if, because at times it's abrupt, some of the tics were very abrupt, I wasn't sure how you were concerned of my concern, along with what my concern was also. In a way it's like dealing with, if you have I can't even think of the best metaphor. I don't mean to compare you to an animal, let's say, but if I'm dealing, you as an animal, but it's just more as something you're interacting with. If I'm interacting with a dog, let's say, and that dog bites when it sees red because red scares the dog, and I see that dog does bite, and I don't quite know that red's the thing that stimulates it, I have a certain apprehension.
Okay, so that was his discussing how he felt when he talked to a young man with the Tourette's. That was the genius talking. Can you see what the big red flag is in that explanation?
What stood out to me is it's all about him. He's like, I wondered what your experience. It reminded me of the old actor joke, you know, when meeting an actor backstage after a performance, and they say, enough about me. What did you think of my performance? It was all about him. And he struggled for words when he was trying to describe the other person's experience. I wasn't sure what you thought of me thinking of you because, you know, I don't really have a lot to say if it's not about me, my favorite subject, me.
This is the genius talking. He had no idea about Tourette's. He had no idea how the other guy felt. He's just like, I was concerned about how you were concerned about how I was concerned.
Everybody loves to hear about themselves. He's trying to pull them in. He's like, what did you think of me? And he's like, it was all about him, you know? It's really interesting. That's a fascinating clip. I love to watch the interactions between him and his devotee.
Oh, we could do more. We can do many more. But do you know what the big red flag in that clip was? The genius says, when a dog sees red and bites, dogs are colorblind. They don't see red.
Good point. Good point.
Here's the genius with his genius metaphor. I have a metaphor. When a dog sees red and he does bite, it's like, how about when a genius?
That's a bull.
Bulls don't see
wrong
red
animal.
Either, I don't think. They just see the flag. They don't see a color. But he's talking about dogs seeing red. Dogs don't see red. Yeah, I think it's the waving of the thing.
So
that
why is
going.
The thing? Why is the? Okay, we can talk about that later.
I just make it that. Yeah.
But they don't
see
that. But
dogs definitely do not
see
red. Definitely do not. They see shades of yellow and shades of violet or blue, I think, but they do not see red at all. So, and it's pretty common knowledge that animals are colorblind, though. I mean,
yeah. I knew that, but I did not know all the shades that they could see like you did. I did not have that in my knowledge, but that's funny. That's really funny.
If you had a 240 IQ, I would think you would know that, right?
Yeah, I struggled to get that on a take-home test.
Like, I'm trying to think of a good metaphor. Okay.
I was wondering what your experience through it was. I mean,
through my eyes.
You know how we could have cut that short? You seem self-conscious. That would have cut that short.
You seem self-conscious of him? That would have been talking
about
somebody else.
That's basically what I was saying. You seemed self-conscious. You seemed worried about what others thought of you. You know, what a long way. I mean, just talking loud, saying nothing. I mean, talking.
Yeah, he didn't even say anything about him. He can only talk about himself, it looks like. Anytime you ask me anything, we'll do some more and you'll see. I think he only talks about himself. This is how I feel about me and my feelings. Oh, we'll do some with Allison Mack, too.
That's my favorite.
Oh, yes. We should do
when he's like, authentic,
authentic,
authentic, authentic. Big
oh, God.
Buzzword, authentic. She's like, oh, that's beautiful. And I was like, he said nothing. Did you even grasp that that sentence was completely empty and meant nothing?
Uh-huh. And apparently that's what they do. That's all of what the ESP programs were like, too. Just all blah, 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 blah. That, and that's exactly what the word salad, that's how Catherine Oxenberg described it too, and their whole other whole seminars,
yeah.
All their seminars are this word salad.
And he foolishly made her quit Smallville to do stage acting because he believes
stage acting
is so authentic. Yeah, and you would think that he would leave her there to make her keep her power, you know, keep her... Her fame
right.
or cachet, you know, her calling card is Smallville, and it would bring
uh-huh.
attention to the cult. I mean, he's just really not bright for someone that, but I guess he wanted total control.
Mm-hmm. He didn't know what he was doing. Yes, so, okay, unfortunately, we're out of time again. So this is the end of Day 5 V-Week. I hope you enjoyed it. And Roberta, thank you again for being on. And until next time,
oh,
until tomorrow.
Thank you.
And
okay.
We'll talk again.
Talk
some more.
Okay,
take care.
Bye.
Have a good night. Bye.